Welcome to this edition of the Fireside Bookshelf. Join our host Ginger Green as she opens doors to the literary world, both past and present, featuring some of the best Christian books pertinent to believers and their pursuit of biblical truth. Each week, she will discuss selected resources which have touched her heart and life, with a hope they will enhance your study of the scriptures and encourage you in your spiritual walk. From foundational Christian truths to marriage and parenting, to understanding the times we live in, Ginger has assembled some amazing Christian authors, and each week we'll explore their works, all designed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And now for today's presentation.
Paul tells us in Romans 7:15, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." How often have you said or thought that? How often have you felt the frustration of trying without succeeding? How often have you meant to please the Savior only to fail utterly? How can you escape the feelings of guilt and sometimes even despair? In A Jest or Self-Destruct, author Craig Massey describes and illustrates these struggles in terms of the old and new natures that the Bible speaks about, particularly in Romans 7. He discusses the titles the Bible uses for the two natures, the effect each nature often has on the believer, the effects each nature should have on the believer, and ways to mature towards Christ-likeness. This book is for the Christian, new or old, young or mature, who in seeking to live a Christ-like life, feels as though they may self-destruct at any moment in the vague struggle of trying, feeling, and feeling guilty. Adjustment is imperative, but above all, the believer must remember that it is God who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So come be a part as we join Craig Massey in the study of the believer's two natures. A Jest or Self-Destruct begins with a look at the inner conflict. The lives of even the greatest characters in the Bible were all marred by personal weakness and major mishaps. The Lord, with honesty, gives us glimpses into the lowest point in the lives of some of those he used most. Adam and Eve knew the Lord, yet they disobeyed him. Noah knew the Lord, yet he drank himself into a stupor. Jacob knew the Lord, yet he deceived his father. Moses knew the Lord, yet he murdered a man. David knew the Lord, yet he committed adultery and murder. Thomas knew the Lord, yet he did not believe. Peter knew the Lord, yet he used profanity. And Paul knew the Lord, yet he had trouble getting along with people. We know the Lord, yet we do similar things. Why? Every thinking Christian at one point or another grapples with this question. Lack of an adequate answer often results in guilt, anxiety, doubt, insecurity, and disillusionment. And those who manage to fight off disaster often sink into a monotonous, dull kind of Christianity with no life, no joy, and no excitement. This is the way the enemy wants it, Massey declares. He does not want Christians to know there is a satisfying answer to their questions. It is his delight to rob the believer of the joy the Lord wants to provide. He does so by offering believers subtle options instead of spirit-filled actions. And though every Christian faces such conflict, no Christian should remain defeated. The Bible tells us not only why we have such battles, but also how to overcome them. Until these truths are known, however, the Christian, whatever his walk of life, will suffer. The Lord Jesus Christ explained why there are two natures when he told Nicodemus, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." John 3:6. This is the fundamental verse Massey uses in his study of the two natures. Massey tells us that the word flesh is a comprehensive term and includes all that a person is through his natural birth, intellect, emotions, and body. These component parts which make up a human being are corrupt, for this stream of humanity became polluted at its source when Adam and Eve first sinned. Basically, their sin was unbelief, and since all mankind was present in Adam and Eve, their sin killed man spiritually. No one escapes this pollution, for all mankind traces its heritage to Adam. This background accounts for all the evil that each generation encounters. Man knows something is wrong, and he tries to do something about it, but his most earnest efforts end in defeat. Massey notes, "Through the ages, great thinkers without Christ have gone to their graves with no solution to the problems which result from sin. The flesh nature has no answers, for Satan, the prince of the power of the air and the god of this age, gives no answers. Instead, he has manipulated man into thinking that solutions can be found in the realm of human knowledge. And each generation blunders on, for that which is born of flesh is flesh, and simply cannot rise above its limitations, regardless of the effort. But God has provided a solution, Massey proclaims, salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. This is the only escape from the inheritance of our natural nature. Since the flesh nature cannot be reformed or refined, God in His sovereign love and grace provided for the death of the flesh nature in each person through the substitutionary death of Christ. When a person believes in and receives Jesus Christ as Savior, the Lord instantly identifies that person with the death of Christ. Simultaneously, a spiritual birth takes place. But though the old nature has been put to death, it is not blotted out or annihilated. The flesh nature is dead to God, but is very much alive to the world. The spirit nature is dead to the world, but very much alive to God. This sets into action two competitive forces within the newborn Christian, Massey explains. One born of the flesh, the other born of the Holy Spirit, and each nature wars against the other, seeking to dominate the mind, the emotions, and the body. Few believers understand the intensity of this warfare. The old nature, godless, unbelieving, egocentric, selfish, and linked to the world, wants to control the individual for fleshly gratifications. The new nature, spiritual, believing, related to Christ, and eternal, wants control of the individual to produce eternal values. Since most Christians do not understand what is going on within, they encounter mountaintop experiences, and then they are plunged into Death Valley experiences. The Death Valley experiences occur when the old nature, greedy for personal gratification and fed by the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, dominates the spiritual nature. Massey asserts, the believer should understand that both the flesh nature and the spiritual nature dwell in the structure of his mind, his emotions, and his body. He should realize the conflict is personal, goes on 24 hours a day, and will go on until the rapture or death. The old nature will never surrender. It will intimidate and manipulate until it gets its own way. That every Christian encounters the skirmishes in the battleground of his being cannot be repeated too often. The old nature, stimulated by its relationship to the world, attacks in tens of thousands of different ways to upset the tranquility and the joy of the Christian. The solution to the problem is for the spiritual nature of the believer to take deliberate action in getting strength from the Word of God. Romans 13:14 tells us, clothe yourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Every Christian at some time realizes that he is capable of doing, seeing, hearing, or saying evil and enjoying that which he knows to be contrary to the will of God, Massey warns. When an untaught believer reverts to the old life and impulsively falls into some sin trap, serious problems may arise. Few Christians escape such thoughts as, have I really received Jesus Christ as my Savior? How can God love me after what I've done? I'll try and do harder. I'll have to get saved again. But when the believer is instructed concerning the two natures, he can counteract this insecurity. But even Christians with knowledge of the two natures may find themselves wallowing in this pattern. The Lord has supplied adequate information on the doctrine of the two natures. This information should enable the believer to understand himself and the conflicts he encounters in his daily life, Massey instructs. When he does become enmeshed in sin, the knowledgeable believer will remember that the Lord said he can be renewed in the inner man day by day, 2 Corinthians 4:16, and that he can forget the things which are behind, Philippians 3:13. And in order to understand the doctrine of the two natures, one needs to understand the character of the old nature and its outworkings in a person's life. Some titles which the Bible gives to the old nature offers insights into its character. Flesh. The word flesh is used repeatedly by the Lord. Often it is used to describe man in his unsaved condition. The world does not see his flesh as God sees it. religion and philosophy have insisted that the flesh is not corrupt, but good. But in light of biblical revelation, this is not so. Christ stated God's perspective very simply. The flesh profits nothing. John 6:63. This is a hard fact to accept, Massey counsels, for the old nature rejects such an evaluation and rebels against any criticism. Man clings to the idea that he is basically good, but at best the human good that is done is only temporary, and the profit is not the Lord's. As Philippians 3:3 tells us, rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. This is what an informed Christian ought to believe. The glory of life is in Christ, and the flesh nature and all it produces are only egocentric, selfish, and temporary. Carnal. Flesh is used to describe the whole unregenerate man, mind, emotions, and body, has a worldly identity, and has the desire to do what the world does. The word carnal describes the bridge that the old nature builds to reach out into worldliness. The world, in turn, crosses the bridge into the carnal character of the Christian and produces attributes that are in opposition to God's will. 1 Corinthians 3:3 names three things that result from carnality: envy, strife, and divisions. The new nature will always be threatened, especially when the Christian is not feeding on the strong meat of the Word. Natural man. Another title of the old nature is natural man. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Massey informs us that the natural man will neither receive nor accept the things that the Spirit of God would teach to the new nature, and this accounts for some of the awful things that Christians do. Each Christian should analyze his old nature and honestly evaluate what it is like. When a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and thus receives the new nature, the old nature will not give up the sin patterns that have been developed through the years. The only way that these things can be curbed is by the objective action of the new nature in obedience to the Word. This involves, as Paul put it, bringing the whole body into subjection and locking up the passions of the old nature. 1 Corinthians 9:27. The two natures are going to cause conflict constantly, but victory can be the new nature's in any given situation. For God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. The Holy Spirit will teach the believer how to die to his old nature. Old man. The Lord also refers to the old nature as the old man. Ephesians 4:22-24 instructs us to put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now that we have looked at some of the titles for the old nature, let's look at some of the names for the new. A new creature in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. An astonishing relationship is established when a person receives Christ as Savior. He literally partakes in the divine nature of Christ and becomes a member of his body. New man. And have on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Colossians 3:10. In contrast to the old man, who lives in the carnal environment of everyday life, the new man is out of his environment, Massey writes. He is a citizen of heaven, and the earthly atmosphere in which the Christian has to live is hostile to his growth. The new man knows he should study the Word of God, but the old man endeavors to keep him too busy to do so. The new man knows he should be a peacemaker, but the old man thrives on controversy. The new man says that faith is key, but the old man doubts. The spirituality of a believer does not come from an attempt by the old nature to become a good Christian, Massey asserts. It is rather to be put on. Yet how often do we hear people say, I'm trying to improve, or I want to be a better Christian? Spiritual growth and maturity do not come as a result of trying. They come as we learn to keep our lives under the direction of the new nature, through the power of the Holy Spirit, with fewer and fewer derailments from the old. The key to living the Christian life, therefore, is resting in the finished work of Christ. Consider that the old nature is dead indeed, and keep it in its coffin. Let the new nature rule in its place, drawing on the life and power of the risen, living Christ. The person with a spiritual nature compares his attitudes, feelings, and actions with the Word of God for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. But remember, Massey warns, the old man attacks suddenly, using unfair tactics inspired by Satan to destroy the believer's mind and emotions. But the believer can't escape by understanding his position in Christ. We are told in Romans 8:37-39 that we are more than conquerors through him who loves us, and nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. We do not want to imply that this is easy, for it is not, Massey reveals. Many sincere Christians have encountered periods of time when it has seemed impossible to cope with life. The key is not so much in escaping the loneliness, depression, guilt, discouragement, or self-pity, as it is in accepting it as the activity of the old nature. Within this understanding of the hostility of the old nature, the new nature can, by calling on the Lord, prevent it from overwhelming his outlook. Inward man. One of the most delightful titles of the new nature is inner or inward man. Ephesians 3:16 tells us that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Both natures are aggressively competing for possession of the mind, emotions, and the body. The old nature does not mind using any means to get its way and is extremely strong and clever in the ways of selfishness. It can take over in an instant. Once in control, it can bring the believer into great distress by leading him to do things the spiritual nature would never permit. But the believer's spiritual nature is not left helpless, Massey assures us. It can be instantly restored to control as the believer looks to the Lord in prayer and responds to what he has said in his word. The victory is in Christ. It was gained by his death and resurrection and cannot be lost. The old nature may well enjoy a peppy quartet number, a rousing choir piece, or a humorous sermon. The old nature may well enjoy the church socials, the outings, and the froth which so often accompanies Christianity. It may well enjoy sensationalism, the excitement of great numbers of people, and greater appeals which bring tears to the eyes. The old nature may go as far as to enjoy a message from the Bible, as long as there is no attack on him. All of these things may be enjoyed by the new nature, but they do not necessarily signal growth. It is only through the study of the Word of God and prayer that the spiritual man will grow and the power of the Holy Spirit will produce the Holy Spirit's fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5:22-23. In Adjust or Self-Destruct, Massey provides two very helpful chapters outlining the practical use of spiritual disciplines, titled The Two Natures in Prayer and The Two Natures in Bible Study. One of the easiest ways to cause Christians to feel guilty, Massey tells us, is to ask them how much time they've spent in prayer each day. The average Christian would be embarrassed if you asked what was the last specific answer to prayer they had experienced. The Bible tells us that prayer is to be a vital factor in the believer's life. Yet in this area, perhaps more than any other, the Christian encounters problems which rob him of any sense of satisfaction. Some Christians are so confused and disillusioned with prayer that their lives are, in a sense, prayerless. Innumerable Christians, while they might not confess it openly, are secretly bitter against God for his apparent lack of response to their prayers. Yet James 4:3 states, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Every believer will encounter problems with his old nature praying not for God's will, but for his own. But the believer's new nature, with the intercessory support of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ, prays for the will of God. Massey also provides a step-by-step approach to Bible study to help ensure spiritual growth. For as Romans 10:17 reminds us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Massey advises that, with deliberate self-discipline, every Christian should develop a plan of Bible study which he will pursue on a daily basis for the rest of his life. If the Christian gives his old nature an inch of freedom, that old nature will influence the spiritual life in a negative way. Every Christian must adjust to biblical instructions for the new nature, or move on a self-destructive course. It must be understood that the Christian grows and develops only as a result of a learning process. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Too many Christians permit the occasional emotional high of the old nature to substitute for consistent Christian living. A spiritual person will not use the old nature as an excuse to continue in sin. Those who love the Lord will be motivated by a desire to live for Christ and to be directed by Christ through the Word. In order to teach us the truth of the doctrine of the two natures and how they oppose each other, God's Word gives us a lucid analysis of our inner conflict in the 7th chapter of Romans. Massey upholds that this spectacular portion of Scripture should be studied and perhaps even memorized. For it is basic to the understanding and enjoyment of the Christian life. There are approximately 20 references to the old nature and 20 references to the new nature in this section. Collectively, the word I is used 27 times. 16 times it designates the action of the new nature, and 11 times it designates the action of the old nature. Massey does a wonderful job in Adjust or Self-Destruct, detailing and breaking down the 7th chapter of Romans verse by verse. In Romans 7:18 we learn, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present in me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." How the flesh nature rebels against this statement. The pride of the old nature resists any acknowledgement of wrong, but God says the flesh profits nothing. Life would be far more enjoyable if the Christian would grit his teeth and admit that his old nature is always getting him into trouble. But the Christian would rather say, "I'm only human. I'm no worse than anyone else. It was the natural thing to do," or any number of other statements which are commonly used as crutches. The old nature will never cooperate with righteousness. It may imitate the virtues of the new nature, but always with its own selfish ends in mind. Paul comes to the conclusion that while the believer's state may be one of confusion, his standing is one of tranquility in Jesus Christ. It is a message of liberation, for the Son of God has made us free. The best is yet to be. The wondrous day will come when in the presence of Christ, the old nature will no longer harass the believer. The carnality of the flesh will have disappeared. There will be no more temptation to sin. We will have our glorified bodies and enter into the full joy of being citizens of heaven. To this we can only add, hallelujah, amen. This is a wonderful resource for every believer in the struggle of the two natures. Adjust or Self-Destruct can be found online and is currently available in paperback. And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf. None of the books featured on this program are ever intended to replace the Bible and the need for immersing ourselves in God's Word on a daily basis. And just because a book is recommended by an author doesn't necessarily mean all books by an author are recommended. Remember, you the reader should always read with discernment. We are grateful, however, to be able to benefit from the research and works of others who seek to remain faithful to biblical truth and provide insights to help strengthen and deepen our spiritual walk, and to be able to share those resources with you.
If today's featured book has sparked your interest or addressed an area of concern for you or a friend, we hope you will consider adding a copy to your library of Christian resources. Nowadays, when busyness seems to be our business, we need to return to the lost art of reading so that we will continue learning more of God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to transform hearts and minds. The Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of Sharon Hearts and can be heard on this station every Sunday at 4 p.m. Past episodes can be found anytime at www.sharonhearts.org. Thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for our next exciting feature here at the Fireside Bookshelf.